computer tomography by itself is a big topic, and as I mentioned in my book, I have a chapter on algorithms for reconstruction from projection. And if you're interested, you'll have to study that on your own later on. We will not be able to go into that chapter in this course. Another modality of medical imaging that is very important in radiology and in clinical, what is called nuclear medicine imaging, is emission imaging or nuclear medicine imaging. In nuclear medicine imaging, what is imaged will be the gamma ray photons that are emitted from within the body. The patient is administered a radioactive substance that is packed in such a manner in a radiopharmaceutical such that that material is absorbed preferentially within a particular organ of interest, such as the heart or the liver or the thyroid and the parathyroid glands or the brain. The radioactive substance is absorbed and localized within the part of the body of interest, and from there, due to the radioactive decay process, the radiopharmaceutical emits gamma ray photons. Gamma rays are the same as X-rays in the same band, and they are both electromagnetic forms of electromagnetic radiation. But the distinction is that X-rays are generated by the bombardment of a target with an electron beam, and gamma rays are generated by the radioactive nuclear decay principle or phenomenon. Nuclear medicine imaging, as it's called, is used to map the physiological function. In addition to anatomical information, you get functional imaging here because the absorption or the uptake of the radiopharmaceutical depends upon the functioning of the body and the particular organ of interest. And also, the way the material is distributed within the organ depends upon its functioning. If there is a tumor, there could be a larger uptake within the tumor. If there is a part that is infarcted or dead, then of course there is no uptake of the radioactive material in that part. So depending upon the functional integrity of that particular organ and its physiological state, the nature of the image that you obtain will be different, and hence this is a form of functional imaging. So examples are perfusion and ventilation of the lungs, blood supply, the musculature of the heart, the liver, the spleen, and the thyroid gland. So depending upon how these organs are functioning, the image that you obtain will be different or will be affected. So X-ray images give you only anatomical information, physical imaging, whereas in nuclear medicine imaging, you're obtaining functional imaging. The isotopes that are used in nuclear medicine imaging are technetium 99N, thallium 201, and the gamma ray photons emitted by technetium are at 140 electron volts. Thallium used 70 or 167 keV, and iodine 131 is used for thyroid. I don't have the keV for that. To detect the gamma rays emitted by the patient, you need a camera. And the camera that is used is called a gamma camera because the nature of the radiation emitted is known as a gamma ray, or it's also known as the Amber camera. It uses a large crystal that is made of sodium iodide and activated with thallium, NaITL. The sodium iodide crystal, which is a few millimeters thick and about 40 centimeters in diameter. So it's a fairly large crystal. And 40 centimeters in diameter and about 10 millimeters in thickness. There are three major components to a gamma camera or an Amber camera. There's a collimator, there's a detector, the crystal is the detector, and there are photomultiplier tubes, or PMTs. So here you have the patient, I'm showing a cross-section. be the thyroid gland or the heart or wherever the radiopharmaceutical has been taken up, and there is a higher concentration there than in the rest of the body because of the design of the radiopharmaceutical. Gamma rays are emitted from that part of the body in all directions. There is no preferred direction. Gamma ray photons are emitted in all directions. Now you have a camera that is a crystal here. And the camera is a scintillation detector in the sense similar to the screen that is used in X-ray detection. When a gamma ray photon hits the crystal, the energy of the gamma ray photon, gamma ray is absorbed and light is emitted from that point in the crystal. So when light is emitted, then you have conversion of the gamma ray energy into light energy. So the information here is in the form of gamma ray photons. The information at the other end of the crystal detector is in the form of light, just like the screen used in X-ray imaging. Now, because gamma ray photons are emitted at all angles, and because the crystal is fairly close to the patient in imaging, we need some sort of a collimator to focus the gamma rays that are emitted, the rays of photons that are emitted from the patient. And that focusing is done by a collimator. So it's much like the grid that we talked about, but here it is called a collimator. And the task of the collimator is to focus the information coming in. It will also block scattered radiation. But the main task is that of focusing. So from a particular position, all photons that hit upon here will be coming from a selected range, a selected three-dimensional beam from the body. Now this, I'm showing here a collimator with parallel parts. A collimator could be made of lead sheets with holes drilled and stacked up. If the holes are all circular, then you can imagine them to be parallel. But it may not be so. There could also be focused collimators where the pattern is converging or diverging depending upon the particular organ that you are imaging. And the holes may not be circular, they could be hexagonal patterns. So there are different patterns created here. So when a photon hits here, there is conversion of the gamma ray photon energy to light energy. And on the other side of the detector, there are a number of photomultiplier tubes arranged to cover the area. There could be between 50 and 60 or 70 photomultiplier tubes arranged. And they detect the scintillation events as they occur. And by obtaining the information simultaneously at multiple tubes, the location of each scintillation is detected or measured. And the appropriate position in the image is incremented. So over a few seconds to a few minutes, you build the image by adding the number of photons detected at each position in the crystal. You may use only 50 or 60 photomultiplier tubes, but you may build an image of typically 64 by 64 pixels or 128 square pixels. The resolution is fairly poor. You don't get 1,000 by 1,000 pixels here. You may get 128 by 128 pixel image for the whole body. So the photomultiplier tubes will detect the positions of using the outputs of the photomultiplier tubes. There is a computer here that detects the position or does the position analysis, and then also pulse height analysis. The amount of light that is generated by the scintillation related to each scintillation is related to the energy of the gamma ray photon. So knowing the source that you used, you know the energy of the photon, and you also know what the height of this pulse should be when that photon is converted to light. Scattered photons, or photons of scattered rays, will have lower energy. And here, in pulse height analysis, you could reject some of the scattered photons based upon their lower energy, and hence lower output of the light. So rejection. some extent. So in this way, you build an image from the radiation that is emitted from the patient. And I'll show you some images in a little while. The collimator is simply an array of holes separated by lead sector. But there could also be sheets of lead with holes punched in, depending upon which way you look. Are these the holes that you have put together, or are these the pieces of lead that you have put together? So you can say they're holes separated by septa, are there simply holes punched in sheets of lead. So they are low capacity of gamma rays that arrive along a certain solid angle path of propagation. So that is the selection of focusing light. So there is a narrow solid angle of acceptance of the photons. So in a way, this is focusing. It's made of lead otherwise, but other materials such as tantalum, tungsten, and gold have been used. And different geometries are used, triangular, square, hexagonal, and round patterns for the holes. There are some important factors in the design of collimators. There is geometric efficiency. The fraction of gamma ray photons from the source that are transmitted through the collimator to the detector. That is the size of the holes. The smaller the holes, the more photons you are blocking. So the photons that are coming from the patient are simply blocked, so they are wasted. And then there is geometric or spatial resolution. So there is efficiency and resolution. So for a given type of collimator, the higher the efficiency, the poorer the resolution. You have to trade off. The resolution is increased if the size of the holes is reduced. But if you reduce the holes, then more photons are blocked by the lead, and then you are reducing the efficiency. So the resolution is increased if the size of the holes is reduced, or if the collimator thickness is increased. But these measures will decrease the number of photons. So you strike a balance. Normally, the efficiency is only 0.01% in a clinical application. So very few photons that are emitted by the patient will be actually caught and imaged. So 1 in 10,000 photons emitted will be passed by the collimator to the crystal, and then there is some efficiency of conversion by the crystal, which is not 100%. So there is a lot of wasted photons and a lot of radiation given to the patient that will not contribute to the image. The parallel bow collimator is commonly used, but divergent, converging, and other types of collimators are also used. The detector is typically sodium iodide with thallium and 6 to 13 millimeters in thickness. So it is a crystal that is the detector that absorbs gamma ray photons and then re-emits the energy as light, that is scintillation. So here again you have some trade-off. The thickness of the crystal determines the absorbed fraction. The thicker the crystal, the more photons are absorbed. But the thicker crystal will cause blurring, as I explained earlier with the case of the screen. The same principle applies here. A thick crystal will cause more blurring when a certain gamma ray photon is absorbed at the entry point, and then the light is spread more. Whereas a thin crystal does not allow the space for much blurring. But the efficiency of the thin crystal will be low. So here again, you have to strike a balance between the efficiency of conversion of the photons that have come through the collimator and have come to the crystal, the detector, and there you have a balance. You have to strike a balance between the efficiency of capture and blurring. So a crystal thickness of 10 millimeters absorbs about 92% of the photons. We're seeing around 140 kV. These are just some estimated numbers for information. At the back of the crystal, you have photomultiplier tubes, or PMTs. Photomultiplier tubes, if you remember from some earlier physics courses. In a photomultiplier tube, you have light coming in at the face. And scintillation within the crystal will be converted by the photocathodes at the front of the tube into photoelectrons. So you're going back from light to electrons to permit amplification. So here, we are converting. First, we started with gamma ray photons, converted to light. And here, at the photomultiplier tube, you are converting that light back to electrons by using photomultiplier tubes that at the surface will detect light and will release electrons inside the photomultiplier tube. And then a series of anodes called diodes amplify that electron current by successively increasing the accelerating voltage until the final anode, and that will create a secondary electron beam. And that current represents amplified information related to the light that struck the photomultiplier tube. So gamma ray energy to light and back to electron stream, and amplify that by about a factor of a million, and then you get the information that the position analysis circuitry will use. So there is a computer here again. The current pulses produced by the photomultiplier tubes give you information about the position of the scintillation in the crystal, where that occurred. And there are a number of photomultipliers that will respond to each scintillation. So within a window of time, you have to determine how many scintillations occur and where in the XY coordinate system of the crystal. And that is done by the array of photomultiplier tubes. And the amplitudes of the pulses represent the energy of the gamma ray photon. And the pulse height analyzer will select pulses that represent a certain range of energy, and hence scattered radiation could be blocked or not counted. Position analysis is done to get the coordinates of the point where the scintillation occurred, and then you increment that position in the image. So by such incrementing, you generate a map of the distribution of the radioactive isotope within the body. So what is imaged is not the anatomy, but the distribution of the radioactive isotope in the body. So in terms of image quality, the major disadvantage is poor spatial resolution and high noise. In spite of the collimator and the pulse height selection and blocking of scattered radiation or not counting scattered radiation pulses, there is still significant noise. The intrinsic resolution is only 3 to 5 millimeters within the crystal because of blurring caused within the crystal. But then there is the collimator. The collimator creates a further degradation in the sense of spatial resolution. Without the collimator, you cannot really take an image at all. So the net effect, including the effect of the collimator and the crystal, expressed as what is called full width at half maximum, FWHM. Full width at half maximum of the width function, of the blurring function, is about 7 to 10 millimeters. So that is significant blurring. The resolution is of the order of a centimeter rather than a fraction of a millimeter as desired. The main causes of noise are quantum modeling due to the low number of photons used and the low number of photons actually detected. There could also be some structural noise due to the non-uniformities within the crystal and the collimator used. So that is nuclear medicine imaging in general. Now, for three-dimensional imaging, there is a specific modality of imaging known as SPECT, single photon emission computed tomography. So there are a few different things put together here. Computed tomography, I described just now qualitatively, where you obtain projection images or projection data for different slices, and then you reconstruct the cross-section. So that is CT, computed tomography here. Then you have emission. Here, what is measured is the emitted radiation from the body and not transmission. CT, X-ray CT is transmission. And then single photon. The single photon comes from the nature of emission and contact. So SPECT scanners typically gather 64 or 128 projections spanning either 180 degrees in the case of the heart. You don't come this way, you only record the, you only take the crystal 180 degrees from here to the other part on the back, only on the left side of the patient. For brain, you can go all the way around. For liver also, you can go all the way around 360 degrees. The entire crystal goes around. So here, for each position of the crystal, the detector, what you get is not one array of projection, but a two-dimensional image, out of which if you take one row, it is equivalent to the CT scanning using the simple techniques I explained earlier. So taking one row of the image at a time, you can reconstruct one cross-sectional plane. So individual scan lines from the projection images will then be processed using techniques of reconstruction from projections, because each row in each image corresponds to the interval of one plane. Once you get the 3D image, you may reconstruct any other plane of interest, such as a sagittal section or a coronal plane, or longitudinal planes, or even oblique sections through the heart. So after you get a 3D volume, you may do other, you may obtain other views. Typically, circular scanning is done, but sometimes there could be elliptical scanning so as to remain close to the body. For imaging of the brain, you would normally go circular, but for the heart, you will have a different configuration of scanning. Now here is a projection image of the heart. This is the heart. Now the radioactive material is concentrated more in the heart than elsewhere, but there is radioactive material elsewhere in the body too. So these are all the white spots you see here are photons emitted from other parts of the body. And this is one projection image taken at one particular angle where you see the heart, and there are some lines drawn here to indicate the scope of reconstruction algorithm